Welcome to Hematologic Oncology Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. Susan O'Brien for an update on clinical research advances in chronic myelocytic leukemia and chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and she began our conversation by commenting on what she sees as a critical issue in CML.
Right now, a big question is how to monitor. So what I mean by that is, historically, before the use of imatinib, we used interferon plus minus Ara-C. And it was very clear that if you could get a complete cytogenetic response, meaning on standard chromosome analysis, 20 metaphases examined, no evidence of the Philadelphia chromosome, that those patients had a dramatic survival advantage. But we could only achieve that in about 20 to 25% of patients. Now when we go to imatinib, we can achieve complete cytogenetic response in about 85% of patients. So the majority can get there. And so when you have that good a response, the next question becomes, how do you monitor these people? Because historically, we didn't really need to do more than cytogenetics because that response was uncommon. So there are also some techniques that we didn't have 20 years ago. So FISH is one. FISH is fluorescent in situ hybridization. The advantage of FISH is that it can be done on the peripheral blood, where the cytogenetics, you still need to get a marrow. So FISH is very attractive, particularly for the patients, because you don't have to have a bone marrow. The FISH is more sensitive than cytogenetics, but it is not useful for monitoring minimal residual disease. So what do I mean by that? I mean that in FISH, you typically have a sensitivity level of about 1% to 5%, depending on the FISH technique. So once you get below that level, then all the FISH is going to be negative. And so then you go to PCR. And again, historically, before quantitative PCR, PCR was just yes, no. So you had no way of quantitating it or knowing whether disease was increasing or decreasing. But now we have quantitative PCR. So physicians want to know, when do I do cytogenetics versus when can I use FISH versus when do I do PCR? One important point is that both the NCCN guidelines and a recently published paper, kind of a white paper, on how to define failure to imatinib are all based on standard cytogenetics. So, for example, we have specific endpoints, say, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months on imatinib, where if the patient doesn't achieve either any cytogenetic response at 6 months, meaning all 20 metaphases are pH positive, or if they don't get a major cytogenetic response at 12 months, meaning at least two-thirds of the chromosomes are negative, or a complete cytogenetic response at 18 months, then their progression-free survival is shorter. And we know this now because we have follow-up on the original IRIS frontline imatinib trial of six-year follow-up. So we're able to look retrospectively and say, well, if the patient didn't achieve this response by this endpoint, we know they're not going to do as well. So that's where the guidelines come from. But importantly, all of those time point guidelines are based on standard cytogenetics. So that's the first point that we stress, that you're going to follow those guidelines to know whether to continue the patient on imatinib or potentially change therapy, because, of course, now we do have the new tyrosine kinase inhibitors. So there are options for changing treatment or increasing the dose of imatinib, that those are based on standard cytogenetic analysis.